This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Buenos dias, baby birds. It's the Trim Healthy Podcast, and it's feeding time. Serene and Pearl are here, your surrogate mothers, and they got the food for the baby birds.
Everything was great about that intro.
Yeah, everything was great, but what was interesting to me is it was too smart, I think, I think he was up in the night preparing.
No, he's the best when he doesn't think and he turns off his brain, and that was excellent.
Was that a turn off brain?
I let her rip, potato chip.
Yeah, he didn't know. Now he's back to like saying potato chips and stuff.
Hey.
But the whole metaphor.
It was very genius.
I love being a baby bird mother on the podcast.
Did you think about that, the last part of your intro before you, the baby bird just come out and then you kind of like had to make sense of it? Or did you actually plan the whole point?
Because it was strong with point.
Yeah. It's just like it had a beginning and an end.
It was point heavy. No, he's lost now.
He didn't know there was a point.
Christmas.
It was a fluke.
What?
All right. We've got a good one today.
Yeah.
You know what? My daughter, oh, yes. Meadow, is the reason for this podcast. She's 28 and a half. And she's like, Mom.
It's hard to think about that.
In a year and a half, I'll have a 30-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
No, but it's hard to think about that because she was that baby. You know, it just feels like just a few years ago. She was a mean baby. But before she was a mean baby, she was the cutest little baby. Her cradle was Pearl's guitar case.
Yeah.
So after Pearl had Meadow, we were still in the music industry, and her husband was the tour manager. And so we were out as a family, and Pearl's little baby, between sets and practice.
Yeah,
the
guitar case had felt in it though. So it wasn't just like a hard.
No, it was, she had one of those Ovation guitars that it was very special. So it had to be preserved in a proper case, right?
Yeah.
And the case was all soft and lined and fur. It was like golden. Mm-hmm. It looked like she was like some special.
Yeah, we put her in there to sleep.
She's
the reason for this because she's staying at a house right now. Her husband's in Japan for some business. And she said, Mom, she's like, what are you talking on for the podcast tomorrow? I'm like, oh, I haven't figured it out. And she's like, well, you should talk to us younger women because remember, Mom, it's Trim Healthy Mama, not Trim Healthy Grandma. And I'm like, it is Trim Healthy Mom. And she's like, yeah, well, you and Serene, you know, you're grandmas now. And you're always talking about being postmenopause or being perimenopause. But there's so many of us that are still premenopausal women, Mom, you don't want to forget about us. I'm like, no, you're absolutely right.
No, she is so right. But can I just defend ourselves for one second?
Yeah.
I think the reason why in my head that we're harping so much on the peri and the post, to me, is not just about the peri and the post. It's kind of getting their brains, the people that are the trim, healthy mamas, they're not near the grandma stage yet, getting their brains already primed so that they can kind of like put things in gear before problems arise and have plans of actions before.
Well, I think, yes, but we haven't really said, we've said that here and there, but we should be more plain about it.
That's right.
And I can take that from her because...
No, I do take it. I just wanted to say
that. Yeah, I agree. And I said to her, Serena and I have always talked about whatever we're going through. Whatever we're going through, our whole thing in life is to find solutions for, right? So we are going through these changes in hormonal seasons. So that's why we're always talking about them. Yeah. And so many of you listening are too. But I said to Meadow, but we were the trim, healthy, just mamas. And we talked about that for years and years. And she's like, well, don't forget about us. I'm like, okay. So
that's
here
good.
We go.
No, we take it.
So let's talk about some things. Let's remind ourselves of things for women who are not yet at the time when their hormones are tanking, when you still are cycling every month, when you are facing things cycle issues, things like PCOS. PCOS affects one in every 10 menstruating women. One in every 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge.
If you're cycling... Does that mean your hormones are right?
No, not at all. And that's what we...
You can even have regular 28 days perfect cycles and still not have beautiful hormones. It's just, there's a lot of interplay in between.
From birth or like just natural, like you can decline before, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like some people, their hormones are whack.
So it's not tanking we're talking about with premenopausal. It's okay. kind of yeah, just out of whack, wacky or imbalanced hormones.
But I wanted to start off and I thought to myself, well, okay, what would we talk?
Your dress is nice, by the
thanks,
way.
Thanks. It's like a little bit of a hint of Chrissy.
Oh, no, I like it. But it's a bit bohemian too. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack you, but I did. I was impressed
I'm looking
by the dress.
At the fourth wall.
You can because of that presentation. Okay. Permit you.
I did. I thought to myself, well, what would we say? Serene, what would we say if we could go back and say, do this
isn't
as a premenopausal woman?
Pearl, are you saying to your own self?
Yeah.
Because as I was driving over here, you told me the topic about 20 minutes before I got my car. Premenopause, it sounds so like menses.
Menses,
you know?
What?
Well,
we're
know,
our mum. Okay.
Premenopause is just like, you know, from zero to perimenopause. So basically,
when our mum talked
40,
to us
40s.
About the birds and the bees and that we were going to have periods, Serena and I got wigged out because, you know, our mum, we just love her.
She's probably listening right now.
Yeah, she listens to all our podcasts. But mum said, girls, there's going to come a time when you get your menses.
The S stayed there for 10 seconds. Menses.
You felt it crawl up your spine.
And we didn't want to
and
have
then
our menses.
By our bed became this
the longest pad in the world.
It looked like each pad was the size of Texas.
We got prepped for periods by a huge bag of
like
pads.
Like 3 years prior to when it would normally come.
3 years.
And you have to look at that massive box of dinosaur pads.
Waiting for our menses. I waited to use that jolly pillow pad for years. Oh, in Australia, it's not like here. Girls wear bras, right? From all my girls, like I brought, it was Mr.
Padalai.
Like you just wear girl, you just buy your little girls a bra because they feel grown up and it's
wearing,
so cute.
They start wearing lip gloss at three and wear a bra at three. But when we grew up,
when
it was
we
a special
grew up,
coming
it was a
of
special
age.
Waiting too and you had to go get fitted for a bra. So there was the waiting for the menses with the big pads and there was the waiting to get fitted for a bra with this woman you've never met. And you have to go into a closed room and she fits your little precious
buds
and measures you.
Did they do that in America?
No. This is Australia. It's terrible.
It was
New Zealand.
Horrific.
So nobody
colony.
Wants to come of age. And then when you start wearing deodorant, you're officially in a special like, special puberty club.
Do you remember your first deodorant?
Puberty. Oh my goodness.
Do you
anyway,
remember your
so
first?
This problem, yeah. this podcast
do.
Is about premenopause.
Yeah. All I wanted to say was when I go back to myself, I was thinking, what would I say to people right now? And my first thing was, well, some things don't change. I would look back and the first thing I would say was, Pearl, get your jolly protein and start being nerdy about it at a much younger age than you did.
You say your list and I'll say my
okay,
list.
Okay,
so Dear Pearl,
please don't hurt yourself by not being nerdy about protein. Pearl, through your 20s and 30s, you jolly barely got any because you went vegan. And then when you realized vegan wasn't good for you in your mid-30s, you started to eat meat, but you were never very nerdy about it. And sometimes you kind of got enough. But because of all those years when you hurt yourself in veganism and you never got complete proteins and you never got barely got any lutein, you lost so much muscle mass. You were already at a loss, Pearl. And then when you started to lose your hormones, what little you did have went away. And it was really, really tough on your body. And even though you were at a good, healthy weight, your ratio of muscle to fat was different. And when you lost your hormones, you basically lost everything. You lost your strength. And you got developed insulin resistance even on the perfect diet because you didn't have enough muscle. Well, now you've gained it back. Good for you, Pearl. Good for you. But you didn't need to go through all those trials. Can I say something? I want you to say, I'm going to do one at a time. So protein would be my first one. And
well,
what
if I have protein as part of mine too? And then we touch it together.
Yeah, okay, good. You good do yours. Friend.
That's why we're good at writing books together. Because we have to like, yes,
ying
keep
yang.
Each other
ying
in
yang.
Line. Okay, dear Serene, let me go back to your precious little 8-year-old self who decided way, 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 way back then to go vegan. To stop eating meat.
Stop eating
when
sugar.
You were eight?
She was
stop eating sugar at about six. But
you
and
made
that was
a decision to go vegan as an 8-year-old.
Well, vegetarian at 8. I went vegan. It was actually a little bit further on. That's why I corrected myself and said vegetarian. But at about 6, I stopped eating candy. But precious little Serene, that was a good choice. But when you decided to go vegetarian, I just wanted to warn that little body. Because, you know, you really took a long time to go meet that lady to get fitted for a bra and all that kind of stuff. And to get that box of dinosaur pads. Because I did not. Serene, you did not have enough animal healthy fats that nourish your hormones, and you did not have.
You were 16 when you got your period, right?
16, then it went away for a year and came back at, yeah.
Is that early or late?
That's so psycho late. That is psycho late. It's because I messed with my body. 12, 13.
12 to 13 to 14. Now, some girls these days, many times, are getting it too early because they reach a 20% body fat much earlier. Because of common diet, high sugar.
So I didn't even have enough body fat, you see.
When a girl reaches about 20% body fat, the brain, it speaks to the brain and says, you have enough now, ovaries turn on.
Yes.
That's so interesting.
So, Serene, you stopped your ovaries from turning on. And I'm just like sad for that. And even when your ovaries started turning on and you were in like your bloom time, you never nourished it with proper nourishment, with proper calories, because you were like a OCD runner down the street. Like I was constantly going on like anorexic runs and things like that. I was a bit, I was always, that's why I'm the purist now. Whatever I do, I have to put the rules in there, you know? So as a young girl, Serena, I wish you'd taken some of your strictness and flushed it down the toilet and just relaxed a little. But I'd say you didn't nourish yourself. You didn't nourish your bloom. You were constantly trying to hold it back with rules. So not enough animal foods, definitely. Not enough protein, not enough calories.
Can I ask you why you decided to be vegetarian at 8? Because our parents weren't. Mum didn't tell us to be vegetarian.
And it wasn't about skinny, actually, about that. But I'm just looking at my body and it was emaciated
what was
in my
it
memories.
About?
Why did you go vegetarian? I understand the sugar
a
thing.
A total, absolute, innate instinct to be the healthiest human alive. It's something in our genetics.
I know, but why did you think vegetarianism?
Oh, I thought vegetarian was healthy. Because
you must have heard that somewhere. Was it
went,
one of the health
read
books?
The health
oh,
books.
We went to the
little sanitarium down.
Yep, we used to go to the little health store and sit on the floor and read the health books.
Yeah,
so you probably picked it up.
May I interject?
Yeah.
You might be this way, or I'll ask you, are you this way? Because I'm this way. I always find myself on the fringe of society in anything from spirituality to food, doing the thing that the textbook says is optimum, but no one seems willing to do. I'm like, I'll do it. And I end up getting into extreme things and hurting myself or my family.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
You know, we have been talking about lifting heavy and working out a lot this last year. We've been on about it. Well, in January, we are starting a new YouTube membership option. And one of the features of the YouTube membership that we are really excited, drumroll please, Pearl and I are going to be doing new workout videos. I know you've been asking for it. We are ready to bring it.
Yeah, so no matter what stage you're in and how much time you have in your schedule, we are going to make these workouts right for you. I have some workouts that they're pretty quick. They are lifting heavy and absolutely regaining your lean body mass within 25 minutes. And Serene here, well, she does everything a bit longer, so hers are 45 minutes, but we also have a 10-minute version for when your life is crazy. There is no excuse. They're fun. They're challenging. They make impact. They turn your life around.
And to access this, once you get your YouTube membership, you'll have unlimited access, and then you can work out with us.
And we'll be bringing you workouts frequently.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Well, that's why we're here, because that's how Trim Healthy Mama started, because we did
hurt
ourselves with all the extremes.
What is that willingness, though, to go, oh, no one will do it, I'll do it, but then you hurt yourself, and there's a reason nobody does it.
Well, I want to talk back to that little girl and say, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. So if anyone's listening and there is a young teen listening, if I could speak to you and just say, hey, just eat all the food groups.
Yeah.
You know, get off of sugar, great. That was a good decision. But eat the food groups. Don't get on tangents where it's like only plant or only animal. Because these days, young people are getting on this keto meat only diet, carnivore diet. That's just as dangerous for growing a body and a body in the prime of youth to be on any kind of tangent and cut out any food group. Cutting out healthy carbs, that's just as dangerous as cutting out the proteins and the animal fats. And so then I would say to myself too, wow, I think that the sadism continued, you know? And I'd probably say, don't exercise so much, Serene. Like, have exercise as your goal, but use the bang for buck. Use the stuff that builds muscle. If I only had built muscle back then and stopped just like doing cardio for hours at 4 a.m. or something stupid, then I'd have such a better start for perimenopause. Because I believe I started in a depleted muscle state too. We had just done so many extremes and we started depleted. So that would be what we'll touch on today too, starting early on muscle and starting.
Well, yeah, but we're not there yet. You said you were going to touch on protein.
Yeah. And that's what I told my little self back then. You didn't eat enough protein. You didn't. So your whole bloom started way late and then you didn't even eat enough protein to let it happen properly. Because protein actually, Pearl, it's not just like you eat the fats to support your hormones and stuff. Protein actually. The hormones are made up of proteins.
Yes. This is written in our book. Mm-hmm. And our book is it coming out next year, Trim Healthy Wisdom. It's, you know, to women in hormonal decline. However, we talk to premenopausal women in there. So it's not just for women having wacky or no periods anymore. So we said menstruating, and this is about protein. A lot of, you know, we do have to say this. Women under 30 do not require as much protein as those of us older, and especially in peri and postmenopausal seasons. Why? You can actually utilize carbs to build muscle. You can utilize protein and
growing child.
But muscle wasting doesn't start till 30.
Right.
Unless you were in a extreme diet, which we were.
But I wouldn't be a 25-year-old and say, hey, don't worry, you can use carbs to build protein.
I am not saying that at all. However, muscle decline starts at 30.
Yes.
However, so many women are doing diet after diet in their 20s where they're lowering their calories. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're in extreme, your muscle's going to go anyway. Yeah. But this is really interesting. Menstruating women. So if you're still having periods, right, you lose close to a pint of blood during your cycle each month. Close to a pint. Blood is largely protein, and your body has to manufacture that all anew after it is lost. Without adequate intake of protein to do this, your body becomes stressed and depleted in other areas. Why? You must have enough blood to survive. I'm just reading from our new book.
Yeah.
Your body will sacrifice other areas of need to build back your blood levels. Plus, you want to catch this muscle nosedive before it happens so that you can burn larger amounts of protein that your body will depend on and not get yourself into this loss of lean body mass fix that most women end up in when they start their hormonal decline.
Right.
So I would say to any woman still in your 20s, maybe early 30s, do not let it happen.
Yeah.
You will put yourself in such a state of being just further down the track. You won't get that insulin resistance. You won't lose your metabolism if you really focus on protein.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, we said, you know, that we don't need as much protein in the premenopausal time as the peri and the post. However, it's just because the peri and post, it's such an extreme situation. We need to really double up. But it doesn't mean we don't have excellent, you know, and adequate sources in the pre. You know, and because it's not just for, you know, for your loss of blood and all of that stuff. It's also for fertility. You know, they've done studies on women who have more protein in the diet than less. They have more babies.
And women who are pregnant, the protein needs are so huge. You know, when you said, you know, we have much more of a need when we're in peri and postmenopausal situations. Why is that? First of all, we don't have hormones, but why? We have to build back what we've already lost. Yeah. But to keep what we've got as a young woman, a premenopausal woman, right? How do we keep it? We still have to be nerdy about protein.
Yeah.
So you want to go into your later season strong and without all the problems that so many of us go through. You get to be a nerd about protein. What is that? It's so basic. It's 25 grams per meal. get that.
And have try and have four fuelings of that a day. But can I say something? You know, we naturally have muscle tone as the youth. But, you know, if you contend, we'll use the word contend more for peri and post. But if you encourage the best muscle you can have for your season, because you don't want to push too hard too in between pregnancies and things. But if you can really encourage muscle mass, you will have a greater glycogen storage in your muscles. You will have a deeper cupboard for food. Mm-hmm. You will be able to eat more fuel the more muscle that you have. And so if you're worried that, because I've seen a lot of people, they just eat less. Mm-hmm. All they need, and they're young. They to keep their weight that they want, they have to keep a very controlled portions. But if they actually got more muscle on their body, they'd be able
to
burn it.
Do you think more women are bird eaters or volume eaters?
I think they've become bird eaters.
They have to become bird eaters.
Because they're trying to lose. That's their thought.
And I'm a volume eater, but not all of us are volume eaters. But if I find a bird eater, it's usually because they've trained themselves to be one. I'm a volume eater because I just love large amounts of food, but I've learned to do it wisely. So you do large amounts of the less density foods, but you season them up and it's amazing. Like your non-starchy veggies, you can make a huge meal if you've got adequate protein, you've got either some carbs or fats or both for a crossover, but you want to eat large, you shove them veggies in there, girl, and then you can eat large and then you don't abuse your body.
Yeah, veggies aren't filling. They don't seem to be to me. When I eat veggies, I'm like, oh, I could eat all day.
Yeah, you could. But if you have your protein with them, then you do get full.
Yeah. You really do.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, Serena, it makes sense then, because we've already touched on it, to talk about strength training now.
Yeah.
If I could go back and look at all the exercise things
I did. We wasted so many hours junk stuff.
I mean, sure, it's good to do cardio, but I like walking. I would say don't waste your time long distance running.
Oh, no.
Don't waste your time on the treadmill. Yeah. Keep and maintain your muscle by lifting. I look at my daughter Autumn, she's developed such a – she's a naturally thin, long, lean person, kind of like
Leah. Which wouldn't have massive amount of muscle.
No.
Naturally.
Because she's so tall and she's – but she has developed a very female, beautiful – not – big and bulking, but very sinewy, muscular body.
And there's a way of gaining strength without gaining bulk.
Yes.
If you naturally
she's
bulk
developed
up, there's a way of doing
and she
it.
Lifts and so heavy and she looks so feminine still, but she can eat because of her muscle. She can just eat and she's, good amounts of food. And I'm so proud of her for that because she hasn't wasted her time, running for an hour. She just gets in there and hits it hard, lifting weights. And, she does still do walks because she loves that. But I think
I actually stopped doing push-ups because I was shredding weight.
Because
it was
just
skinny.
Because it was just strength, enough body weight. Body weight.
It wasn't enough weight.
Yeah, body weight.
And I know women's physiologies, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Are different. And they're not technically doing push-ups as much as I was, but that sort of body cardio seems to shred.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true for women as well?
Actually, running doesn't shred.
Mm-hmm.
Running long distance running and long distance cardio. Because resistance, push-ups is lighter for men. It's lighter resistance, but it's still resistance. Resistance in a light way will shred. You're thinking kettlebells, thinking body push-ups, you're thinking chin-ups, you're thinking all that. You'll get a shredded body. Body weight, but it's still resistance.
It's good resistance.
And you'll shred too with heavy weight too because you just burn fat. It just depends on how much you eat to cover.
Yeah.
I was so hungry.
But cardiovascular exercise doesn't really make people shredded.
No. It can emaciate you because you can lose actual muscle. Mm-hmm. You can actually lose your muscle. But
you
I
don't
do
have a lot
say
of tone.
We are not anti-cardio. If you just love to run, run, but make sure you are doing some heavy lifting then.
Yeah, but if you love to run, I'd have a caveat to do it. Try not to get into miles a day.
Yeah.
Some people love to take drugs. Walking, I agree with walking. We're meant to walk. You can walk for hours. It's not, but long distance running for women has so much research that shows the detriment, and I've seen it too.
And I would look back and tell myself, walking is fantastic, anti-aging, good for cortisol, good for depression, fights depression. We could sit here all day and talk about the benefits of walking, But I'm telling you, it is a waste of an exercise if you're not going to be strength training as well. Right. You shouldn't spend all your time thinking, oh, if I get 10,000 steps in per day, I'm great. No, you're just walking, and that's
walking
fantastic.
Walking to me is just not being sedentary. It's just like having a nice conversation with God or a friend or whatever. Like, it's not training my body.
No, it's not training. But I do have to say, if you are very, very unfit and you haven't done any form of exercise, and mostly you're not exercising to start, just to get steps in and to do walks, that's fantastic.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
It's a perfect step one.
You like walking better than running?
Yeah, I do, but I like
running,
walking, and I like
walking
sprinting.
Walking is not a long distance exercise because you still can talk. You can still, you're not, so it's the long distance steady state that's actually cortisol producing, because it is hard on the human body.
Yeah.
And you just keep pushing through, but it's not building muscle. And apparently, according to some research, your body kind of learns the hacks, because muscle weighs the most. And it's like, if I'm going to keep up this constant, I need to get rid of some of the weight. Gets rid of the muscle. It usually keeps a bit of an adipose tissue pad around the middle, because that's fuel for
that's
the long
haul.
That's
wild, because women are out here cold plunging, putting on the chest strap and the armband and running long distances. I mean, that and feeling like, I mean, posting their results. I did it today. But they're not always. So obviously they're happy with their results. But is there more long term consequences to that?
Well, I've just seen woman after woman after woman just end up very depleted, end up without a metabolism, because it's steady state. It raises cortisol. And if they're not keeping and building their muscle, they lose their metabolism. Even if they're a runner, if they're burning calories running.
Yeah.
I've just seen it. And we want wisdom. We want the best. And for women are different.
I've mentioned that book, Lift Like a Man, Look Like a Woman, before. I forget the author. But she was a lifter, and she maintained excellent just shape through lifting. And of course, not being sedentary, walking, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she decided to stop lifting and just do cardio. And she did like the trendy types that were around at the time, and the elliptical, and then the jogging, and then all of that little, aerobics and everything. And she put on weight, she lost muscle, and she shows the pictures of the difference between the tone, like the actual muscle shape. And it was enough for me.
So women are underestimating the workout part, the weight part.
Yes, that's what we're trying to bring. And we learned this the hard way. We learned this by mistakes. Like, looking back, I used to think, oh, I'm going to go on my walk for my exercise. And I still do on days that I'm not training. I love to take a walk. But it's not my exercise. It's just what humans do.
It's my day off.
Yeah. So I would like to now talk about, because we're already 32 minutes in. I want to talk about balancing hormones and how we eat to do that, and just the foundation of hormones are, and that's balancing blood sugar.
I was just about to say, if I might, Pearl, I was about to say, can I start? And I was going to say that, yeah. No, it's so true. I think the first step, if you are young and you're listening and you're beginning your journey, the first step is to to start watching the sugar that you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
And it's not, remember, it's not just about sugar. It's about those devitalized carbs, the whites, noodles, and the breads, and we're not against white potatoes for
no, we're not against ancient breads. We're pro all these things, but for I think about now, I'm going to talk about PCOS.
Oh yeah,
and so many women suffer with this
high insulin. Correct.
Yes, high insulin, and then affects their hormones sometimes, not always in PCOS, but testosterone rises too
many
high.
Times.
Sometimes little cysts go on the ovaries. Sometimes periods are skipped. Sometimes infertility happens. But many times it's just this inability to lose weight, high insulin, blood sugar spiking. And I have to say, it's not always because of what you're eating.
No.
But you just have to be far more wise about what you're eating when you have it. My own daughter, Meadow, had PCOS as a teenager. It caused her acne. It caused her a little bit of weight gain. And this is really interesting. So we took her to the doctor because she wasn't feeling very well. They looked at her insulin and things like that, and they diagnosed her with PCOS.
It was high, right?
Yeah, her insulin was very high. Now, at the time, interesting enough, she was she didn't like the little bit of extra fat she was carrying. So she went low carb. She was kind of doing low carb.
Oh, yeah. She gained more.
Yes. with a low carb diet, and they say, you know, many times they say, well, pull your sugars down if you've got PCOS because your insulin is high. She pulled them down and her insulin did not track with that. Then she actually started, she was like 15, 16 when she was about 17. She really came to understand the Trim Healthy Mama plan more. 17, 18, she started incorporating more healthy carbs.
Light crossovers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she did more Emails. Ease with good protein, leaner protein, and very light crossovers. Well, she walked out of that insulin resistance. Yes. She also used myo-inositol, which is quite a wonderful substance for regulating blood sugar. But she has no trace of PCOS now. I'm not saying it will be that easy for everybody. Some women have such tough cases of insulin resistance, but it really is getting those sugars out. You know, I raised Meadow on a pretty healthy diet, but she did love sugar when she was a child.
Well,
her daddy loves sugar, and he would give it to her. So I'm sure that contributed in some point. You know, I don't want to it was because she had sugar. Some children can have sugar and never develop PCOS.
I remember sitting in the back seat with her as a young toddler. Mommy, are we going to have ice cream?
Yeah. Mommy,
I want candy. We said we're going to give you ice cream. Mommy, are we going to have ice cream?
Yeah, I remember. But then she really understood that sugar was not her friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, to this day, she has some now and then. She's more like me. She's not like a purist like you that will never cross her lips. But on a day-to-day basis, she doesn't have it. And, you know, she no longer suffers with PCOS. But, you know, for some woman, if you're listening right now with PCOS, I would say to you, yes, get the white sugar, the white devitalized grains, get them out. Yeah. Eat wonderful protein. Get that 25 to 30 grams per meal and eat tons of veggies. This is what I want to say to you. But don't be scared of good carbs.
Oh, is that one of the biggest mistakes? Like, okay, so the first one is eating junk sugar. That's just such a clear mistake. It's so prevalent. But then the second one, and which is the flip side of the coin, is when people go the opposite and they take out the healthy carbs. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I really think it does a number on the hormones. And it does a number on the cortisol and the adrenal and your thyroid.
I know. And that's another thing that PCOS women have in common. They have a compromised thyroid usually. Mm. You know, Dr. Kay, who founded Trim Healthy Medical that we're launching next year, hopefully, says for all her PCOS woman, she usually finds that when she optimizes their thyroid, and she actually gives them progesterone as well. Mm. Even as a young woman, she gives them progesterone. Mm. And sometimes she gives them the peptide therapy like semaglutide or atorvastatin, brand names are Ozempic or Mounjaro. She finds that they get completely healed. Mm. I mean, with those three things.
Yeah.
But sometimes PCOS women don't need the extra hormones or they don't need the extra peptides. Sometimes just really dialing into that diet, increasing veggies, getting that protein.
And those gentle carbs.
And I think, you know, I did a study once on black beans for women with PCOS because I was helping a woman with PCOS.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I never have S breakfast because I've been told that's not a good idea for me. I have PCOS. And I said, I want you to try something.
You mean she never has E?
Yeah, she never has E. She always She always has an S breakfast because that's what she thought she had to do. And I said, well, I understand if other carbs, maybe oatmeal spikes your blood sugar. You know,
not
maybe,
that it does.
But no, maybe in her case. Maybe, I don't know, but I want you to try this for me. If you want an E or a crossover, try this. Try the gentlest of carbs. So black beans, make a puree, right? And make an egg white omelet and have a big, you know,
what
nice
amount. What she means by
that
puree is imagine in Mexico like the most savory, almost bean dip.
Yeah,
like
just blend zesty, some black beans, put some salt, chili powder, and cumin in them.
Oh, I never thought to blend black beans.
Oh, I do it all the time.
It's like a thick.
It's an instant dip.
Yes, and then get
you can heat that thing up.
Pour some egg whites into a pan with nutritional anise, flip it, and that's the basics. That's your layer. That's your egg white omelet. You can do it with eggs if you want to cross over. But
I want to have it for snack when I get home.
Okay,
now.
Smear that really good with the black bean puree, and then put some veggies on top. Now, you tell me if your blood sugar spikes with that. You tell me how you do.
What are you smearing? The black bean smears on what?
Over the egg white, the base of the
non-stick skillet, and you can even put nutritional yeast on the bottom
like
of the skillet.
Tortilla?
It's
like
a crusty, it's a tortilla, but it's made out of protein. It's egg whites, and you put nutritional yeast, and it's delicious.
Are people doing this, or is this you?
Well, I talk about it in our new book, but this is an experiment that I haven't shared with anyone. I said, come back and tell me how you're doing, including this breakfast and other really gentle carb breakfasts like that. Well, she said, she came back to me and she's like, Pearl, my blood sugar is doing amazing. I've dropped pounds. I didn't know I could have carbs for breakfast.
I wasn't even hungry
until just now. Your A1C was healed too by eating more carbs.
Yeah, it was.
Diabetes can be healed by gentle carbs. People think, you know, I've got beautiful numbers now since I've gone on keto and gone low carb. But what happens is it's just a Band-Aid. There's no actual healing taking place.
No, you're just
because you're not giving the... It's like somebody with an allergy. Their allergy is not healed just because they stay away from peanuts.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just they've still got the allergy. So it doesn't fix people's issues with clearing insulin. But gentle carbs can actually fix it.
Over time. It takes time. It does. Definitely
it
not an
gentle
instant fix.
Goes it. It doesn't mean, straight away I'm having a huge giant sweet potato. Yeah. Like from the get-go. Yeah.
Amigas. Would we call it a tortilla if we're using egg whites? Is it an egg white tortilla?
No, we never thought about that. But your analogy,
you
we were like,
could.
We agree.
You could roll it up with it if you
but
wanted.
Does tortilla mean bread or corn, though? Or is tortilla a flat base?
No, it means
base?
Bread or corn.
Do you know where I got this idea? When I went to Hawaii with my daughter, we went to this beautiful restaurant. And they had these, they called them these special omelets, but they were just basics. At the base was this... a round egg thing and they did mine at egg whites, and then they put it was like
you would have asked for it,
yeah, and then they put this thick layer of beans over top. Ooh, and then it was like cilantro, fresh tomato.
Ooh.
I had it and I was like an avocado on top.
Yeah, you're having a little like
crossover. It was like I made it a crossover with that. Oh. And then
what I brought
are they black beans?
Black beans,
Danny, good for
oh
you.
My goodness, you're
he's
like
gonna eat
tracking.
Black beans what we're talking about, and I was just in heaven, and I thought, what a healthy breakfast. And so I told this woman about it.
Beans are a wonderful gentle way to start. The black
they
beans
really
are so
especially in a
so
puree
gentle. Yeah.
Have you ever pureed black beans, Danny? I just pour a whole can of black beans. I drain off a little of the water. I keep some in my blender. I put half a tablespoon of chili powder. I put, or is that half a teaspoon? I can't remember. I think half a teaspoon of salt.
Don't get this thing wrong.
Anything
half
spicy?
A teaspoon of salt. Oh, yeah. I put cumin.
Chili.
I put chili. And
hot
then
sauce?
Whatever spicy.
You need a tang.
You can.
I would want mine.
It's
tang.
However you want it. And then, you know, it's such a good sandwich spread.
Oh, I'm going home soaking my
It is so good
beans.
On corn tortillas.
Every time you add like an element, my stomach physically rumbles. I don't know if people can hear it, but it actually rumbles like when you just said that.
And I love it for PCOS women, because when you're having it with that other protein, the egg white protein, then you're getting your lutein, because you're not getting your lutein in the black beans. It is
no,
great
don't.
Vegetarian protein, but it's
we
missing
don't count
some
them
things.
For muscle building.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is that I love.
Yeah,
is sautéed garbanzo beans.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness, they
are. Do you
are
whip
good.
Them up first? Is that what you mean?
My adopted children used to, because they used to make kind of curries and with hot habaneros with the blended
African
chickpeas.
Curries.
Yeah,
okay.
African.
But
curries.
You're saying you just throw them in.
I just love chickpeas, and that's a gentle carb.
Yeah,
you know those beans. Try there's so many to try.
Sautéed in butter?
No, I didn't. I just
throw them
just
in
a light little bit on a
spray of coconut
skillet.
Oil.
Yeah, spray of coconut oil. So I think that so far, what have we got here? We're like, okay, yes, get off of the sugars, but then don't go so far that you're getting off of the good carbs. Content, we won't use that word content, but really, you know, build muscle in your youth. Don't just wait till you're losing it like a freight train going down a hill.
And I would say many women,
and don't leave our food groups.
No,
you know, there's allergies, I understand,
thing.
But my goodness, the worst thing I ever did was be exclusive with my diet.
And really concentrate on you're doing yourself such a favor if you will keep your protein in your meals and never forget it. Of course, you can have the odd meal without it, but just be a protein nerd and start from an earlier age. And here's what I would say, even though you don't require hormone replacement therapy, usually until you get to, you know, 40s, 50s, you know, then you start to really require it to be your optimum self and to thrive. But check on your thyroid. If you do have a really tough time with weight, if you're tired a lot, if you're dragging, I would check on your thyroid, and I would not take normal for an answer.
Right. People will be like, oh, your numbers are normal, but unless they're checking your
free T3
and
your reverse T3, we really don't know. And so many women could have much better quality of life if they optimize their thyroid. And even when they're in their 20s or 30s, sometimes Hashimoto's starts then. And thyroid is compromised. And they don't have good thyroid numbers. And they need it optimized. And there's no shame in taking thyroid hormones. Yeah. Yes, Danny.
I have a question for Bird Mother. if you're not eating right, if you're eating sugar, if you're abusing dairy, should you fix that first, then check your thyroid? Because
yeah, absolutely. Right? It just in only order. Makes okay. sense.
And then when you described all of that, I was seeing a picture in my head of like modern, you know, people in their prime, the youth of America. And I was seeing the, and I hope this is not offensive because it's not about image. It's not about anything. It's about health here. I was seeing the extra inflammatory layer mm-hmm. that many youth has now. You know, mm-hmm. you think back years gone by and people were pretty wiry, you know, mm-hmm. you have different genetics and different, but now the average is the inflammatory fat layer around the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, you just go to Walmart, you look around, the average youth has got what most people started getting when they started getting over the hill.
Yeah.
You know, that over the hill inflammatory fat layer when they're not, you know, processing their sugars properly anymore, you know, but this is starting so young. I would say whatever you do, if you start noticing that, if you're listening and you're a parent, you start noticing it when your child is 8. If you start noticing it, you're listening and you're 22 and you know that this is not, you know, right. I just feel like preventing that through these things was said, it will prevent that inflammatory fat layer. And I'm not talking about the natural little bit of fat, you know, that a woman should have on there.
Beautiful. We need our female fat layers.
We want that. Otherwise, if you go below 20% body fat, you're in danger. You're losing muscle. You're losing bone. We're not talking about shredded here. We're just saying, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. That Western society diabetic situation, type 2 diabetic look on the tummy. And that was something I would prevent, not try and fix.
And the amazing thing is
when you start thinking, okay, well, I'm getting older now, I'll start to worry about my health.
Yeah.
No, prevent these things.
And the great thing about it is when you are premenopausal, you know, you respond so much better. You know, so many listeners right now, they're in their 40s, 50s, you know, it's tougher to respond because they've lost their hormones. When you are young and you have that estrogen, it helps sensitize you to insulin. It helps regulate your blood sugar. You've got so many helpers going for you right now. You can build muscle much more easily. When you do these things that we've talked about, you respond so jolly well. So don't waste this season. It's a beautiful responsive season where things work well for you when you just apply wisdom. When you do the things we've said, get your protein.
Lower that sugar.
Get the sugars out, but eat wonderful carbs and eat the wonderful healthy fats. Man, your body is just going to go, yes, I can do this. And you're going to see the changes.
And eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, don't skip
it. Yeah, that's a big one. And the youth are doing it.
Yeah.
Like young people, because my mom has interns from all over America helping. And so we get to see a lot of different ways of that people eat. But an average, like a common thing is don't eat breakfast, you know. And so I feel like that's a dangerous thing for you in your prime to just skip breakfast.
Your hormones just hate it.
Yeah, you just learn to be a cortisol person from the time you rise.
Yeah. And so when your cortisol goes up, and so there's studies to show that when women skip breakfast, their cortisol rises more significantly and stays there throughout the day. I mean, it's like an 8-hour rise. And what happens when your cortisol rises? You do not burn your foods as well. You don't rest and digest. So you're in the state where your metabolism actually goes down because your body thinks fight or flight. But when you eat your breakfast, the cortisol, especially if you include the two things are carbs and lean protein, your cortisol steadies. And we all need cortisol, but we don't need too much.
I read this book and I can't even recall the title, but it was an oldie and a goodie. But remember I called you on the phone. I wish I could actually cite the study, but this is just coming.
Sugar. Yeah.
No, it was about breakfast.
Okay.
And I was down in Florida and I'm like, Pearl, we know all of this, but it's just another good study just to prove it. It's the Hartmans have got it. I was reading it at their place.
Okay.
Anyway, and so it was saying how they took two different kind of groups and they gave them the same, like, you know, micronutrients, the same calories, the same, everything the same, but they just changed the ends of the day which they ate it in.
Okay.
So, you know, there was a breakfast group who ate the big, big, big breakfast like a king, you know, and ate a good lunch and ate some good afternoon snacks and ate a light supper. And then stopped eating, or the other way around. They skipped breakfast, they snacked lightly during the day, and then they got home and had the massive dinner and then, you know, kind of got snacky in the evening. But it was the same amount of calories.
Okay.
This not only were they lighter, the ones that ate breakfast, they had more body, like lean body mass.
Really?
And their waist circumference was smaller. Yeah, so all by changing our
well,
the
you
hours
know,
of the
morning.
Day.
The morning is the human burning time. Mm-hmm. We burn fuels more efficiently in the morning. I'm not into having a super light little supper. Like, I want to have a good amount of supper, but I don't make it super heavy. But I want my good protein and my luscious, you know, fats. I have fats in my supper.
I eat till the time I put my head on the pillow.
Yeah, you do.
I eat my dinner and I take my break. I'm full, but I'm always hungry before I go to sleep. I always have a little something, like a little passy.
I'm the
little
same
pacifier.
Way.
I don't. I'm good after I eat my dinner, but I have it a bit later than you. I eat at 7.
It doesn't matter. Whatever. It's just my pacifier.
Well, but let's clarify. You are a high metabolism person because you've built so much muscle and you don't have insulin resistance. So you can burn it. Whatever you put in there and it's healthy, you burn it.
I eat those wolf berries by the palm full before bed.
Oh, that's
good.
It's nice.
I hope it's good.
Well, protein is the best thing to eat before bed. But hey, for you.
No, I throw the nuts down.
Sometimes
too.
I'll just pistachios. Have it. You know, I'll go to the fridge. And I've noticed this too. You know, I love Good Culture cottage cheese, right? It's my fave.
Yes.
She blends it with a whole lemon.
Yeah, the low fat is way better than it's yummier than the high fat one.
Yes.
My husband brought me the high fat one the other day because I asked him to pick some up
at
Kroger.
You can taste the buttercream and it overtakes.
Yeah, okay, it overtakes the flavor. Mm-hmm. But I found that if I'm doing really snacky, silly things and I just can't, I don't know, it's not time for a meal, but it's just
so
like,
silly.
I just want to put something in my mouth. Then I go have a few spoons of Good Culture cottage cheese.
You know? Yes.
I'm good.
I do the same thing and I throw blueberries in it.
I'm sanity.
You know why?
Why?
Not only is it protein, but it's casein protein, which is the slowest digested protein.
Yeah.
It just does quicksand to the blood sugar.
Yeah.
Oh,
and sometimes I'll have that before bed if I'm just like being a weirdo.
Oh, do you know if you're going to eat anything before bed, something that actually could give you benefit and not just take guilt away? It's like healthy forms of cultured casein. Like,
but you know,
I know casein sounds so terrible and whatever. No, but like a cottage cheese is casein. A lot of lifters will actually take a native casein supplement.
You did for a while take casein before bed.
But then the purest part of me is like, I'd rather have it in a real food like cottage cheese. So.
But I do have to say though, I'm much more of a purist about cottage cheese these days. A lot of cottage cheese, I used to be, and I think it's fine when you're first starting Trim Healthy Mama, or if your budget's really, you know, if your budget's tight, obviously
doesn't
you might
taste as good.
No, and it's not as good because
stabilizers,
it's not as sour.
And mono and diglycerides.
I picked up Breakstone cottage cheese the other day because I was desperate because I make my cottage cheese and I blend it and I put lemon in it. You know.
And by the way, can somebody call Good Culture and tell them we need like some moolah
know,
or something?
Right?
A little fluff.
Yeah.
For the
but
pillow.
Anyway, I got Breakstone. I came home. I was so excited. I was going to have my blended cottage cheese snack. You know, and it was like, what the heck? This doesn't even taste like that good sour. Like, where are my good microbes? Sorry, Breakstone. I'm not trying to be mean, but where
culture?
Are you?
Oh my goodness.
Where are your good, good microbes that I can taste?
And can I add to why she does the lemon? Because, you know, dairy can be mostly for perimenopausal and postmenopausal women, an insulin promoting food. That's not bad. Insulin puts that protein into your muscles. But for the young, you know, they have a better time handling it. But if you add it, whole raw lemon, like the juice of it in there, that just totally like blunts any insulin rise at all. And so you get the best of both worlds.
To the cottage cheese.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, because dairy is a potent insulin agog. Okay, so it promotes insulin. Why? Because it needs to take that protein and put it in your muscles.
So that's great for muscle
building.
But
when you have declining hormones, if you're a woman, not so much in a man, then you don't have muscles that open up to that very well. And your insulin is kind of always at a high thing. It's just like, it's like constant state of PCOS.
Mm.
And so you have too high insulin. And then when you go put, even with whey, and then when you go put with like a potent insulin agog, like cottage cheese or whey or something, if you're not doing very well with your hormones, sometimes it can raise your insulin even more. And then your muscles are like, sorry, I'm not opening up to you. I'm in a broken state.
That's
here.
Why some people store with dairy.
But if you put that lemon, or if you have a shot of ACV or something, that sourness, that's why we love kefir so much. It's sour.
Like if you don't want to put the lemon in your cottage cheese and you have these problems that Pearl's talking about, PCOS or your peri, which is not what we're talking about here, peri and posties, but put those sour agents in there. If you don't like it, do a shot before.
Because
like an ACV shot right before.
Sour forces your muscles to open up and say, yes, please.
It forces it.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
It blunts postprandial blood sugar levels.
Why does it bring your blood sugar down? Why does sour bring your blood sugar down? Why? Because your muscle cells have slurped it up and it's gone from your bloodstream. And Sour
says,
we can
talk more about this in our book, so hushy, hush,
yeah, we're talking a little bit now about it, but we go deep into this in our book. When we have, Serena's created all these awesome shots. We call them burner shots. And they're like fun ways that you can do these things right before you eat if you have a blood sugar problem.
April just sticks the lemon straight in her cottage cheese because it tastes like cheesecake in a bowl.
Totally.
Oh, so cheesecake swirl. Like, and stevia.
Like deconstructed cheesecake.
I was going to ask how it deals with the flavor.
And so oh my goodness. And then I top it with like blueberries and nuts and or you know, wolfberries.
And I put a little bit of our optimized strawberry whey, which isn't selling yet, but we have all of the testers. Oh my.
Why can't we have
goodness.
Like a chef that is over there?
We're 55 minutes in. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.